All right, guys, find that seat, find that table. We're going to get started. If it's your first time to Iron Men, we have an Iron Men first-timers table. Jesse's waving his hand. If it's your first time this morning, we want to encourage you to go sit with Jesse at the first-timers table if anyone slipped past. Pastor Troy, if you would come on up. Pastor Troy has an announcement about a men's event coming up, and then he's also going to introduce this morning's teaching fellow to us.
Good morning, man. Good to see all of you. You hand me a microphone, I'm going to do promotion. So the second Ten Commandments event is coming March 2nd, Saturday from 9 to 2:30. We have all new speakers except for one, who's my boss. I had to put him back in for job security. A lot of these faces you're going to recognize, definitely. I have posters around here. If you look at that poster and you say, hey, you know what? That's a nice poster. I think I'm going to go put that up in my office or at my church or whatever it might be. You do that. We have people represented from many churches here, not just Family Church. And this QR code, which is conveniently placed right here on both sides, you can sign up right away. It's $20. It's going to include a meal and all 10 of those speakers answering the question, what is a man? Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? So they have 10 different perspectives, and they're pretty good. I'm really excited to see this, and hopefully I'll make it for this one. Our table is pleased to be the January table, which kicks off the new year, and I strategically made it so that everyone else would grab this microphone except me, but here I am. And that is because I am the proxy for George Cope, who was going to introduce our speaker, but got sick. So he sent me his introduction. So you look at me and think George Cope, okay? Oh, he's probably watching. Hey, George, love you, buddy. So this is now George Cope talking. Before I introduce today's teaching fellow, I want to say how much this group means to me. This is George, not me talking. I've been attending over 2 years now, and this Friday gathering has impacted my daily faith journey. Thank you for investing in me. Our teacher this morning is Peter Weed. Question, has anyone ever met a weed? I'm not talking about what's in your yard. I'm assuming I asked Peter about his family name, and here's what he told me. Peter is second generation Italian. His grandfather arrived on Ellis Island, and when he stepped up to the immigration officer, the office said his name, and Peter's grandfather said, Guido. He asked him again, not understanding what he said, with a thick accent, Guido. The officer wrote down weed, not Guido, and now you know the rest of the story. He was born at Yale Medical Center in New Haven, Connecticut. His adult journey took him from Connecticut to Anchorage, Alaska, then to Central Florida. Peter's an entrepreneur at heart. Upon arriving in Florida, he proceeded to start a limousine company. Then he opened one of his first Subway restaurants to bring him great success. But don't let that fool you. Peter's experienced his own deep pain, as we all have. When he arrived here, he bought a used car. The radio dial was stuck on a Christian station out of Lakeland, run by Carpenter's Home Church. Peter, am I stealing your what you're going to say here? I hope not. This is this part. As Peter motored around Central Florida doing business, he could only listen to the gospel teachers and music. Carl Strader, the pastor at Carpenter's Church, would daily share Jesus and ask people to get on their knees and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. One day, Carl did what Carl always did. Peter was driving on Curry Ford Road. Carl said, get on your knees. He pulled the car over to the driveway, opened the door, and in front of God and everyone passing, wept his way to Jesus. When Peter was 42, he felt directed to go back to college. He enrolled in filmmaking program and graduated from UCF. His passion is filmmaking. He's written 7 screenplays and worked in the film industry, making films for secular companies. And now he's committed solely to making films that honor Jesus and build his kingdom. He asked me not to say any of this, not wanting to bring attention to himself, but you need to know the Peter story so you can appreciate where he comes from. Peter is soft-spoken, a gentleman, caring and forgiving. If you don't know him, make a point to get to know him. Brothers, please welcome and listen intently to Peter Weed.
Well, thank you. Thank you all very much. And now that Troy spoke for George and said everything I had to say, I'm finished. So in closing, I'd like to say, just kidding. When God made me, he made me a person who could take a 2-minute story and turn it into a 2-hour movie. So because of that, I normally speak extemporaneously, but however, today I will follow my notes to try and keep within the time limit allowed. So if we can first start with prayer. Would you stand with me, please? Guide us, Father, to see the important sacrifice of getting outside ourselves in order to serve a higher purpose. Let us ask your Spirit, Father, to empower us to live faithfully as Jesus, shining his light in the world's darkest places, because in that very act of living, there is contained all the mystery of divine life. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I'd like to start with a Bible verse this morning, Acts 1, 6 through 8 in the ESV. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know time or seasons that the Father has fixed for his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we've been reading about Peter, and we've been reading about the various trials and things he went through in his time with Jesus walking around the planet. And Jesus had the intention of building him to become the rock, the salvation, the foundation of the church. He started out as a very humble man. And we've had some great stories these last couple of weeks with the other fellows from our table. Jesus showed Peter some miracles. Peter came to Jesus, fell down on his knees and said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He started out, as all of us, very humble when we first come to Christ and realize who we are and what we're supposed to be doing and what we're actually doing. Peter was a man of action. Peter was the guy who was the first one to answer the question, the first one to ask a question, the first one to take action, to jump out of the boat, to grab the sword, to stand up and do what a leader does, take action. My questions today are about us, who we are, where we are in our walk with Christ, and what we do. Do we hear him speaking to us? Do we take action when we hear him speaking to us? It's funny the way God chooses people and the things he does with people. You know, I'm a simple guy who's done a lot of simple, basic things. I've driven trucks. I've run restaurants. I've worked in construction. A lot of the things that a lot of you might be familiar with. And yet God chose me to do things that I would never imagine he would have me do. I don't very often get the opportunity to pray with people and to accept Christ. I've done it a few times, but that's not my place in this world, and that's not who he made me to be. He made me to be a seed planter, and I accept that position. That's what I do. And in doing that, many years ago, one of the people I listened to on the radio was a fellow named Bill Bright. Bill Bright started Campus Crusade for Christ, known as CREW, and he wrote the Four Spiritual Laws booklet. Well, God put it on my heart many, many years ago to start a little ministry by distributing these booklets all over the country. Key words here, with a generous tip, not as a tip, but with a generous tip, in hopes that the person would actually look at the booklet thinking, oh, this guy's pretty cool. He gave me some decent money here. Well, I always carry them in my back pocket, and I've been doing this for probably close to 30 years. I go through about 100 a month, roughly. And at one point in time, I was driving across the country, and I had run out of my booklets. So I stopped into a church and asked if they had any tracks that I could use till I got home to replenish my supply. And they said, oh yeah, sure. And they gave me this little white booklets that had a picture of a heart on it. And the very first time I used one of those in a restaurant, I was in the far corner by the windows, and I was walking across the restaurant to leave, and the server, the waitress, she came running after me with it in her hand. Sir, sir. And I was like, yes. And she said, how did you know? I'm like, how did I know? How did I know what? She said, how did you know? I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, how did you know that I had open heart surgery and this is my first day back at work? Well, I didn't, but somebody else did. And if that's what touched her heart to lead her to Christ, I didn't get to pray with her, but the seed was planted. That was my place. That was my position. That's what I was supposed to do, and I did it. And God used that, and that's how he uses each and every one of us. You have to open your heart to the discernment, hear what it is he's saying, but when you hear it, you have to take the steps of action to follow through. These are the things that Peter did. He listened. He learned. Did he screw up? He screwed up a lot. We all do. But he learned, and he was shaped, and he was formed, and eventually he became that rock, that foundation that the church was built on. And nothing has changed. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And he wants each and every one of us to be doing the same exact things that he wanted his apostles to do. The message hasn't changed. It's not for us to drag people into the kingdom, kicking and screaming, beat them over the head with a Bible. The message is simple. Deliver the message. Get out there and do it. Now, I'm one of those weird guys that will talk to anybody at any time. You know, I'm pumping gas. and there's somebody sitting at the pump next to me, pumping gas, and I'll start a conversation. It might be about their car. It might be about their hat. It might be about anything. Just start a conversation and see where it leads. One of the prayers that I pray personally every day is, God, bring someone before me that you want me to speak with today and give me the words that you want them to hear. It's that simple. It's really quite easy. Let me refer to my notes before I start going off on a tangent again. Did I mention that when I drove a truck, my handle was Fisherman? No? Peter, Fisherman. Kind of obvious. When Peter learned all the lessons that Christ taught him during their time together on earth, he became the man Christ wanted him to be. All the other apostles turned to him for answers, and he didn't necessarily have those answers, but they all looked to him because he was a natural leader, and then they in their own rights became leaders themselves. According to John MacArthur, we see in our book, Peter's life, he had three elements that go into making a true leader: the right raw material, the right life experiences, and the right character qualities. I believe that each and every one of us is supposed to look for those within ourselves and help develop those as we get into the Word and continue growing in the Word. It takes time, it takes persistence, and we have to have the willingness to open up and allow God's Spirit to take control. You know, we're guys. We want to be in control. We want to make our own decisions. We want to go down our own path. And it's sometimes difficult to let the Spirit guide us and lead us. And I know in my personal life, and we all have many, many stories, there are times where I'm like, what? God, are you sure? I don't know. That doesn't sound right. But by yielding, different things happen. And it's like, oh, okay. I guess that the end made more sense than I realized. There was a wise philosopher who once said, as you're going through life, everything seems chaotic and crazy, things going in every which direction, and troubles and problems and issues that we have to struggle and deal with. And then you get to an older age and you look back at your entire life and it's like this finely crafted novel that was laid out exactly perfectly the way it was supposed to be. But at the time, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like, whoa, what's going on? So Peter, the man with the foot-shaped mouth, finally figured it out. He allowed the Spirit to lead and fearlessly follow without hesitation. On the day of Pentecost, he spoke boldly, keywords, spoke boldly, allowing the Spirit to work through him and led 3,000 new believers to the Christ, and the church was born. Was he done screwing up? Not yet. Paul had to rebuke him when he fell away from following Christ completely. So here's the question. If God can take an ordinary fisherman and a bunch of ordinary guys and turn them into the rock and the foundation of the church, what can he do for you? What can he do for me? What can he do in our lives? How can he use us today? Are you listening to see what he has to say to you? Are you hearing what he has to say? And are you ready and willing to take action when he does, when you hear it? I'm always questioning, am I hearing you, Lord? Is that right? And then there are times when it's no doubt. You know, I remember it was June 16th, 1996, Father's Day. And God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to write a screenplay. And I'm like, what? Write a screenplay? I don't have no idea what you're talking about. How do you do that? I didn't even have a clue what to do or how to do it. So I went out, bought a book, How to Write a Screenplay. I started writing. And, you know, 7 screenplays later, here I am, trying to reach the world for Christ in the darkest places where they live. And it's not very easy, but we progress. We go step by step, day by day. We continue to move forward. And that's what the apostles did. You know, Peter walked with Christ for years, and he didn't start out strong, but he finished well. And that's the key to what it is we're supposed to be doing, especially at this stage in our lives. Wherever we are in our walk, we want to finish well. And it's a matter of listening and taking action when we hear and believe what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of people that think they hear God, but they don't investigate. They don't follow through. Follow through is very, very crucial. So if I may be so bold as to speak corporately for all of us, in spite of ourselves, our struggles, and the various failings, it is each and every one of us here, my prayer, Lord, that we all finish well, that we hear what you have to say, we open our hearts, we open our mouths, we take that step, we do whatever it is that we need to do to become that rock, to become that foundation, to become that person that you want us to be. And that's it. You know, I often tell people, I say, look, I can condense the Bible into these two things. One, get to heaven. Two, take as many with you as you can. That's the whole book, cover to cover. Find Christ, share Christ, and see where it goes. So if I can, close in prayer for each of us. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for the privilege of being up here and speaking with them. Let your words flow through us, each of us, out into the world, that we may truly, truly, truly be the workers in the harvest field that bring in 30, 60, 100-fold of what's been planted. This is your commandment to us. This is your message to us. We corporately open our hearts and welcome it and look forward to you producing the fruits of our labors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Men, we're going to spend the rest of the time at our tables. Table captains, I sent the questions out yesterday evening, and I'm going to hand the floor over to you guys.